Welcome to the Walk On Mentality Podcast, where we discuss topics from walk-on stories and what it means to have a walk-on mentality, to entrepreneurship, to business, to fitness, mental health, and more. I'm your host, Jackson Mitchell, founder of Walk On Mentality Health, and I created this podcast to positively impact listeners through sharing inspirational stories and other thought-provoking content. If you enjoy the show, please share it with a friend. The goal is to positively impact as many people as possible. Thanks for tuning in. This episode of the Walk On Mentality Podcast is brought to you by Good Wolf Provisions. Are you ready to take your health and wellness journey to the next level? If so, look no further than Good Wolf Provisions, your partner in holistic, athletic nutrition. Good Wolf believes that true well-being encompasses more than just physical fitness. It's about nurturing your mind, body, and soul to achieve peak human performance. Their provisions range from the mushroom-powered Dawn Patrol superfoods, which go perfect in your morning coffee or post-workout smoothie, to whey protein, creatine, and even CoQ10 to help you stay focused and energized throughout the day. As part of the Walk On Mentality community, you get an exclusive perk. Head over to goodwolfprovisions.com to explore their offerings and treat yourself to a healthier journey. Use code MENTALITY at checkout and you'll unlock a fantastic 15% off your order. Thanks for supporting the podcast, and I can't wait to hear what you think about the supplements. Remember, no limits. If you're like me, you like to train hard. And if you train hard, it's incredibly important that you take the time to prioritize rest and recovery so that you can come back better. And one of the ways I set myself up to come back better is by rocking the Kane Revive. The Kane Revive is designed to stimulate recovery from the ground up, created for moments of athletic transition, made to support and renew the feet before and after workouts. Kane is made with Bounce Back Foam, a breakthrough biofoam created from sustainable Brazilian sugar cane. The shoes are odor and bacteria resistant, quick drying, and ultra durable. They were developed in partnership with Dr. Daniel Geller, an authority in the treatment of foot and ankle injuries in elite runners, cyclists, and triathletes. Head to the link in the show notes to support the Walk On Mentality podcast and get yourself a pair. Come back better. This episode of the Walk On Mentality podcast is brought to you by Powders. Only the good stuff. I'm deep in marathon prep right now with about 4 weeks till I go for a sub-3 marathon at the Houston Marathon. And lately, I haven't been hydrating with anything other than Powders electrolytes. With 500 milligrams of sodium, 5,000 milligrams of coconut water, and zero added sugar, this electrolyte powder is best in class. They've got a great variety of flavors with pink lemonade, fruit punch, and lemon lime. But most importantly, the ingredients are all natural, non-GMO, zero sucralose, and like I said at the beginning, only the good stuff. Powders also has excellent greens powders for daily usage, as well as phenomenal pre-workout for that buzz before you hit the gym for a session. You can use the discount code MENTALITY at checkout for 10% off to support me and the podcast. Remember, no limits. Are you tired of feeling like your clothes are too tight, uncomfortable, or never your size? What about feeling like you never have the right apparel for the various occasions that you're doing on a month-to-month basis? At the end of the day, you look good, you feel good, and you feel good, you play good. And that's in every area of your life. And if that resonates with you, look no further. I'd like to introduce you to the Roan Commuter Collection. Roan's Commuter Collection is flexible and breathable. There's a product for every occasion. Mobility is everything, and it makes looking good easy. Not to mention, with Gold Fusion anti-odor technology, you never have to worry about your pits reeking. If any of that resonated with you, then my friend, you are in the right place. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday and straight into whatever comes next. So head to roan.com/mentality and use promo code MENTALITY to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to roane.com/mentality and use code MENTALITY. It's time to find your office comfort. Thank you guys for taking the time out to join me.
Absolutely. We're so excited and grateful to be here with you.
And we have Giaconda Parker and Christine Anderson of Sama Yoga House.
Sama Yoga, yes.
I thought I might pronounce it wrong. Ian said it to me on Saturday, but of course, Sama Yoga House.
Sama Yoga House.
Okay, so I'm so stoked to be here again, especially with Christine. So Christine and I recorded an episode together back in August. I think it was episode like
50-ish.
Yeah. Wow. Which is crazy. And now here we are in January, and I was thinking about it. It's like the conversation that you and I had was amazing. And
you know, everything was about alignment and your journey to where you were at. And then you fast forward a short, what, how many months is that? 4 months?
Yeah.
To now. And now we have a whole different situation with, you know, more alignment and more, like, I'm just curious to learn about y'all's connection. And of course, preparing for the interview, I was reading about you on your website and the things that you've done and your background, Gia, you know, 25 years, you know, becoming a master of this art of yoga, but also still a student. Mm-hmm. And so just really cool to be here with you guys. And I'm excited to kind of dive into to both of y'all's journeys and how this came to life. Yeah,
I think the first word that stuck out to me is alignment. And I've just been having more conversations, you know, with Gia and with other people and really feeling more and more aligned with, like, values, with goals, with passions, with people, with work relationships. And that's really how Sama kind of was birthed. Yeah.
Absolutely. I when I think about my first real step in this direction of Sama Yoga House, I think of an invitation that I got from a completely different company to come to Costa Rica. It was like invited us in to experience their location. Mm-hmm. And when I got the invitation, there was nothing in my logical mind that made sense. But my gut just said, you have to do this. I felt excited and a little bit scared to do it. And pretty much in life, whenever I feel those two things together, I know that that's the next step.
And those two things are excitement and also, like,
excitement and, like, a little bit nervous.
Resistance almost.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great word for it. Yeah. Like, resistance because it's stepping out of the groove that I'm in.
Mm.
And it's pulling me towards something outside of that current reality.
Yeah. I feel like I've been noticing a lot lately in my own life and just feeling it around me, like, the things that we resist, not that it's always like a major, like, oh no, like, I can't do that. But even if there's just a subtle resistance to doing something, to moving in a certain direction, it almost feels like that's a call to actually go in that direction. I'm curious to dive deeper into your background. Pre-yoga, was this ever something that you thought, a path that you thought you would be on? Like, I think if I remember correctly in reading a bit about your journey, it seemed as if you were maybe doing something completely different and ended up stumbling upon a yoga class or a training or whatever the thing was, but that was kind of this catalyst to, like, propel you into this space in the way that you now are in it.
Yeah. I mean, my pre-yoga life, I actually, I spent some time traveling in Central America, mm-hmm. was running a business down there, was, like, in a very, like, hardcore party life,
mm-hmm.
and in, like, a pretty tumultuous relationship. So it was kind of, everything in my life was chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at a party and I saw a VHS tape for yoga. That's how long ago it was. Wow. And I basically stole the tape. I was like, I think I need this. And so again, I, like, popped the video in my very first practice. The teacher had us in Warrior Two, which is just a really strong, powerful pose. And she said, feel the strength and confidence of Warrior Two. And it just landed so in the center of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And my very next thought was, when's the last time I felt this way?
Mm. Ooh.
Yeah.
And wow. There was no going back from that moment. It's like, I want to live in this feeling of strength and confidence.
Right.
And I have to change a lot of things to make that happen. And it wasn't that hard, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Were like, okay, I'm going.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm getting divorced. I'm moving away from this friend group. I'm finding a yoga studio and a place to practice and surrounding myself with other people who are interested in the same thing.
Wow. I love that. And I think, you know, the authenticity that is, like, apparent there of, like, this is who I am, and me being who I am requires surrounding myself with these people and doing these things and not staying in this same situation, cycle, environment, whatever the word is you want to use to describe it. I feel like that's such a simple concept, and yet so many people would just stay in the relationship, mm-hmm. in the career path, and continue to do the same things that got them to where they were. So congratulations for being there so many years ago.
Yeah, thanks. It was a good decision for sure.
I think those are the moments, like, you, it wasn't on just like an intellectual level, like you weren't just pragmatically thinking about life, you felt it on a soul level. And I think what Sama really represents for us is this like soul work that we're doing that's deeply impacted ourselves personally. Mm-hmm. And you can't really deny it once you experience it. No one can take that away from you. Like, no one told you. It was like your higher self was like, yes, this is it. And it's really following that voice and that feeling is what has continually propelled us really to this exact moment. Of like, okay, yes, everything else says no, or like stay, or like play small, and then something inside is like, no, there's something more here.
Yes. And so talk a little bit about like what it is that Sama is, because I know there's, you know, yoga teacher trainings, but it is much bigger than that, as at least the way I see it. And like you just described, like the walk-on mentality is this, like, we're not going to play small. We're going to have massive ambitions and we're going to bet on ourselves and build things that are meaningful and pursue that real alignment and purpose and mission and vision and go live it out because we can. But it takes believing in yourself, and then it takes doing the work to make it happen. So, you know, talk a little bit about what Sama is and what that mission is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to start off with Sama, one of the concepts of Sama is same or equal. And after all these years, as you mentioned, you know, I'm as much of a student as I am a teacher. And I think that for this continuing of the yoga practice in a really healthy way, we have to, as teachers, recognize that students come to us with wisdom we don't have. Just as much as we might know things that they don't know. Mm-hmm. And that really this, I think that in its roots, this tradition was always that. It was always students and teachers coming together to learn together. And so one of our big ambitions is to really keep that alive, seed that, and all of our teachers are of that same mindset, all of our students coming in, and then going out from there to their lives or to their studios, wherever they're going to teach, and bring that kind of feeling that we all have something to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. It's not just yoga, it's like how we live our lives. Like, can every person who comes into my sphere teach me something?
Right.
Yeah, I think, and like we have such a global teaching team too, from Asia, from Central America, from Europe, from the US, and to honor like that sameness of like everyone's story, everyone's experience, everyone's education has a point, right, and is valid. And so we intentionally hire and work with more of an international team to create more of an enriched experience, that it's, life isn't linear, life isn't just like one way. And so I think we learn as a community, right? G and I learn from each other. If you stay open and receptive, like, more learning and growth happens. And yeah, inviting more of a global audience is really important for us of, it works.
Yeah. And we're in this time where people are seeing differences as a reason to be separate, right? And Krishnamurti is this teacher. He says the root of all suffering is the illusion of separateness. So if we can recognize, like, difference means we have something to learn from each other. Mm. It doesn't mean we have to push it away, but rather like embrace and come closer. And that's kind of the essence, I think, of one of the teachings that yoga has to offer everybody, whether you ever get on a yoga mat or not.
Right. And you said that is what the essence of what yoga teaching has to offer everybody. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Okay. I really think.
Yeah. It's really interesting because just sitting here as we talk, I'm thinking about, you know, looking at you all's website and the roster of teachers. You do have such diverse backgrounds and from different places, and you have mindset experts and things that I can't even pronounce, and somatic this and that and Ayurveda, and I'm like, don't know what any of that is. But just the diverse education and expertise is very cool. And then also locationally speaking as well, it's really interesting because I'm thinking, I haven't been to a yoga class in a while, but as an attendee of a class, it's like you look around and there really are all these different types of people that are doing the same thing. And, you know, the experience is different for everybody, but I know that every time I leave a yoga class, I'm like, wow, I feel a lot better than when I entered.
Yeah.
It's a powerful art, I would say, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you know, in an like an hour long studio class, like that's just like touching the tip of the iceberg. And when you're like removing all distractions of work and sound and light and news and media, and you're immersed in like a really beautiful location with really like-minded people who are willing to be vulnerable to like look inward and look to create change and application in their life, there's like this conduit of like so much growth and transformation. And whether people come to like teach is really not like, I mean, yes, we will have the skills and confidence to empower and bolster them, but we're very passionate about like the shift people start making in their lives. Like the shifts obviously were radical in Gia's life and my life too. And that is possible. And I think yoga in a sense is giving tools to people that they're already there, right? They just need to like uncover them a little bit and be like, you have the tools to create the life and the change that you wish to create in your life and create more harmony and peace and presence. And it's pretty magical.
So how do you go deeper? Like, you know, in an hour class, there's so much that you can get done, but you know, in preparing for this episode and reading, again, I allude back to Gia's bio, but it talks about like self-discovery and you know, tapping into like the innermost, like deepest parts of you. And maybe that does happen in an hour, but also like I know in my own personal experience, like it took a long time for me to really figure out like what's important to me and like what do I want and who really am I, like am I being myself or am I being a different version of me to appease XYZ person. Like that journey for me took a long time, and I've done yoga along the way, but it wasn't just like a yoga thing, but I think yoga has that power to catalyze that type of transformation. So how do you go deeper than just, you know, an hour long class? Yeah. And you know, you do the warrior one, the warrior two, and the poses, and it's wonderful, but what do you think is that next step to really that self-discovery that I kind of talked about?
I think one thing that can shift is when we start to see the yoga practice that we're doing on the mat as a metaphor for everything.
Yeah.
And so instead of thinking like I'm here to do warrior one and do warrior two, warrior one and warrior two are the tools for self-discovery. So beginning to notice, like, how am I with myself on the mat? How am I being with the way that I'm feeling today? And starting to watch, like, watch and observe what feels good. How do I respond to the things that feel good? How do I respond to a moment where I have a thought that doesn't feel good? And, like, really starting to find that internal barometer. So instead of kind of managing everything from the outside in, it becomes this inside out journey. So I can feel when I have a thought that isn't really aligned with the core of who I am. That comparing thought, that does not feel good in my body. This judgment that I have about myself, or like some standard I'm holding that isn't accurate to where I'm at, doesn't feel good. And then it's that from the inside out, we start to be able to notice like, oh, I feel really good in this company. Mm-hmm. And when I'm around these people, I don't feel good. And what is that about? And instead of pushing it away, like bringing it in and getting curious.
Mm. Yeah, I think the curiosity. Yeah. And just, I think that's the beauty of Gia and myself and in you is being curious to be open and, experience life. I think when we age and we go through life, our experiences that feel like they can harden us, and we're like, okay, I stay with what's familiar and what's safe, but then we stop growing. And being curious is like allows us to be like, okay, one way could be just physically curious about your body. When you're on your mat, you're like, oh, I'm feeling tight here, or like I'm restricted, or I'm feeling strong. And the more we tune into like the physical body, this vessel, right, then you're starting to like invite more internal awareness. Like Gia was saying, you start going through experiences where like that felt like really heart expanding, or that felt like small in my life. And so I think yoga is such a unique physical exploration because it's just, that's part of it. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's not many other like practices that accompany like the physicality and the internal, the focus and the like spiritual philosophical practices, and they're all woven together. And I think I think that's why I love it so much, is I've been on with you before. I'm very physical. Mm-hmm. And yoga just has this way of like pulling all of your awareness like in. There's, you know, that saying, wherever you go, there you are, right? And when you're on that mat, you're like, okay, what's rising to the surface? And there's, you can befriend that place within yourself.
Yeah, you know, somatic work, which is, you know, one of the other things that I've studied alongside yoga. Yoga is a somatic practice, but mm-hmm. there's a thing that can happen when we can sort of settle the part of us that's in fight or flight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And our adaptive behaviors. So, you know, we have access to this higher consciousness that can be curious about what's different and interested in contributing. But when we are more in that fight or flight, or, you know, that's our safety mechanism. Mm-hmm. And then our mammalian body, you know, sort of our animal body, has to be part of the collective in order to feel safe.
Yes.
Yeah. Has to belong in order to feel safe. So when we can start to, through these practices, breathe, settle the fight or flight, feel at home and belonging within our own bodies, then we can enter into any circumstance from that higher awareness of being curious. How can I contribute? What's the bigger picture here?
Mm-hmm.
It's like we want to be our bigger selves, but there's like a biology that has to be addressed in order to have more constant access to that bigger self.
When you talk about this mammalian body needing to be part of this process, kind of to feel safe, do you mean like, say you have an idea of something that you want to do and it's in your mind, it's very clear, and you're like, yes, I'm so drawn to that, I'm called to that, but because you're not actually doing it, mm-hmm. there's a massive disconnect and your body feels that? Is that kind of what you're saying, or am I misinterpreting it a little bit?
I would say, yeah, that's a great example of it, is when you feel pulled in one direction, but you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it take to like bridge that gap?
Mm.
Like, my body needs to be involved in the thing that's happening.
Right.
Because without it, we can't make that full connection or that full commitment to moving forward.
And so with the practice of yoga, like we're talking about, you have the opportunity to really look internal. And as you have those feelings, you can say, okay, what does this mean? And like really kind of, you've alluded to the inside out more than the outside in. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what's really going on here? And not like pushing away the thoughts and the feelings, but I guess it comes back to being present and really like figuring out what it is that's coming up.
Yeah, I think that's kind of why we also chose like these locations, is it's hard to be present, especially when you live in a city and there's so much stimulation that really revs up our nervous system into that fight or flight. And yes, going to a class and practicing meditation at home and having those resources to like anchor and calm down, super helpful, but it's hard to move away from all those distractions, and we understand it. We feel it even like coming back from being in Costa Rica and then landing in Austin, like just the lights alone, it's just mm-hmm. a lot for our bodies to like experience, and there's so much like, you should be doing this or do this, or pressures that we like create for ourselves or other people. And when you go to Costa Rica or Thailand or Bali, it's like you're held in this container of like focus and spaciousness and presence in a way that like really builds a foundation for people.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they go back home, yes, life is hard and fast paced, but there's an anchor for people. I really think, you know, I've been thinking about like what yoga teacher training is, and I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to be a yoga teacher, so this doesn't really fit for me. I think, you know, a way to even see it's really like a life training. It really is. And I'm my background's in education, and Gia's time in academia too, and I really think that we've done a disservice to how we are raising ourselves. Of there's this amazing story in the philosophy of yoga where this guy keeps learning everything he can, and he comes to the end of the life, and basically God is like, no, you're not ready. And he's like, okay, again. And he's like, I read even more, and I studied, and I learned, and I like, I have so much. And again, he's like, no, you're not ready. And mm-hmm. again, it happens. And by the last time, he starts applying what he's learning and serving and caring and sharing and connecting and creating community. And I think in our information age, we've become so overly intellectual and not in body and not in heart. Mm-hmm. And I think really yoga training, that 3-week period, is like this place to come back home to what really matters, and not to be lost in the, like, what yogis call the Maya or the illusion. And that those webs that kind of like pull us. And yeah, I think yoga training is really a life training of like finding yourself again.
Wow. It's funny that you say that, because I was literally just sitting here thinking that exact question. Like, is it for everyone from the standpoint of like, what if I don't want to go teach a yoga class after this? But as you were talking about being able to kind of slow down, like go to Thailand, Bali, Costa Rica, be disconnected and probably learn about disconnection. Because I would imagine some people come into that environment and are maybe anxious because they feel like, I don't have phone service or I don't have the ability to like distract myself with the million things that I have to do.
Yeah.
But then that's that discomfort, that resistance that we talked about earlier. Like, they have to settle into it and like slow down. And then to your point, like, you go back to your city and you have a tool and a system that you can use to slow you down, because mm-hmm. inevitably, like, there's going to be moments where you're, you know, super high highs,
yeah.
and you need to be able to do that. And I mean, plenty of people probably can't. So yeah. To your point, it's for more than just the people who want to come, to learn, to then go back and teach. It's for anybody who wants to, maybe learn these principles that they can apply in many different areas of their lives.
Yeah.
I was thinking as you were talking, you know, we have this phrase so many people are familiar with: everything that you want is right outside of your comfort zone.
Mm.
But how do you get outside of your comfort zone? Mm. You have to tolerate being uncomfortable. And it's like, it sounds great, but then the reality of that moment where you're like, this is where I would do whatever it is we do to get away from the moments of discomfort. Mm-hmm. And really, like, yoga is a practice about saying, okay, be with, breathe with, and then see what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another piece, that while we are in these really beautiful locations, like, there is always this moment, and it's so beautiful to observe when someone is coming up against their edge.
Yeah.
You know, and as facilitators, like, we can sort of see that. But you're not on your edge alone. Mm-hmm. You have these practices, the community that forms, and then when one person sort of makes that move and everybody else as a collective like sees that, then it's this exponential mm-hmm. growth experience for everybody.
Mm-hmm. How important has community been in you all's lives? I'm curious, you know, I think about something that was said earlier in the episode around this isolation and separation due to differences. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I look at my own experience and feel like there's been times where I've felt like, oh, I got to be the lone wolf and grind this out and do this on my own. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I'm a macho man. Like, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But over this last year in particular, like, the power of community has been just at the forefront of everything I've experienced, especially in Austin. I think that's one thing that I've so appreciated about Austin is there is so much community available.
Yeah.
And if you're willing to go, you know, immerse yourself in it. So how important is community in you all's minds?
Well, we joke. I mean, we're similar backgrounds in some ways. It's a very like clear thread, and I think that's why we're both like really drawn to creating community and having intentional community. And like you're saying, it's always there. It is outside our comfort zone as human beings to be like, hey, like, can we have more meaningful engagement in life? And yeah.
I think we're in a really interesting time right now. I think as a collective, we're trying to heal from
mm-hmm.
yeah.
all of the disruption that the pandemic brought.
Mm.
And I feel this sort of budding in so many people that I'm talking to, where in some ways we're getting that new blossom of what could be possible through community.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you almost have to lose something to know its value.
Yeah.
And I think as we're all coming back out into the world and healing, we're realizing that the true healing only happens together. Mm. Like as a collective together, coming back and realizing like human beings are not a threat. Human beings are like actually what gives us life.
Right.
You know, we are, and we're biologically wired for connection.
Yeah.
We can learn, like you said, we can learn to self-regulate, but co-regulation is what our biology craves, and what we've been doing. What we've been doing as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to that, like really getting back to pushing past these little sort of boxes that we live our lives in, and saying like, wait, I need this.
Right.
I want this. And not only that, but we're always better together.
Mm-hmm. And it is available, like whatever the community desires, mm-hmm. available, and you can also create it. I mean, I think that's what's really cool with you two is like, and I still haven't even asked how you all actually know each other, so I'm curious to hear that. But, you know, I think about our previous episode, Christine, and what you were doing at that time, and it was relatively similar, I believe.
Yeah.
But obviously there was a desire for something slightly different. So what did you do?
Yeah.
You went out and created something slightly different that felt even more aligned. Yeah. And so how did you guys come to partner on Soma?
Well, I first will say, and then we can kind of get in like the pragmatic side. I think life brings you the people that you need, for whatever reason, whether it's to heal, whether it's to be a mirror or to like challenge yourself, or there's like a divine connection of growth and expansion. I really genuinely, like multiple times a week, I'm like, this feels really divine. And like when you were talking about earlier in your body, it's like that's something that's so amazing about yoga. It's like you can really start feeling, wow, there's expanse here. There's openness, there's trust. So I think just then more of an internal level, it just felt very, we keep using this word kismet, that like life paths as we were like moving around, you know, the world of yoga, like continued to like weave us towards each other.
That's a perfect way to say it. And, you know, I've mentioned like that first yes for me, I know that was the breaking through of like, okay, I am ready and I'm willing to learn and be on this journey of trust. And like, what am I being called to versus like, what does my mind think I need to do? And then just connecting with Christine, the first destination training that we co-led, it just was so in the flow.
Yeah.
There was an immediate sense of trust, mutual appreciation, this Soma that we talked about, but also play.
I was just gonna use that word.
Play. Yeah. So playful. It's like, oh, look at this amazing thing that we get to do together, and flowing in and through.
Yeah, not taking it so seriously. I think we can just get so rigid in our mental like viewpoints of like, I'm going to teach this and you're going to teach that. And yes, there's a lot of organization that has to happen. And then once you have that system, it's like, yeah, then you don't have to worry about it. You can just, especially when you are working with someone who's equally on that wavelength, it makes it so much more fun. But connecting, like how life brought us together practically, we've both been in Austin, obviously Gia a longer time than I have. But since I got here like 11 years ago, I remember like just the yoga world is, you know, like any other world is small.
Small, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it was through a mutual friend that we know is a photographer, who done shots with Gia and then myself, and he was like, y'all should connect.
Yeah, he was pretty insistent about it. He's like, okay, we're gonna make this happen.
Yeah. So we like listened to that. We're like, okay.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then from there it was like I was in Costa Rica, Christine was in Costa Rica at the exact same time. And
just serendipitously.
Doing different things.
Doing different things. Yeah. Yeah. She was scouting a retreat center. Wow. And I was actually at another retreat center that had invited me to come down. But it was like that yes that put us like in the stream. And then from there, it just like the braids kept getting like tighter of moment to moment.
Yeah.
Coming together. And then,
So it was kind of a process and a journey of actually coming together in the way that you are now, but you've been crossing paths and in the same space. The question that's coming to mind is, you know, how much, well, I have a couple. One is like this idea. How did the actual idea come to life? And like, I'm just, this is an example, like Christine, did Christine come to Gia and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. I want to do it with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly like that. Okay. I remember calling her and being like, hey, I'm just going to throw this idea out here. What do you think? And you were just like, it was a very much like full body yes in that moment. There was no like, you're like, yes.
I was like, yes, let's do it.
Yeah.
When we were leading that first training together, it was so alive.
Yeah.
It really felt like we were participating in this thing that had life of its own. Mm. And that's what it felt like when she called and asked me. I was like, oh, right. We're just continuing to participate in this idea that really wants to be in the world.
Yeah.
And it has felt like that every day since.
It's so fun.
I mean, there's definitely moments, you know, of like deepening levels of trust, and
external obstacles. Yes. Like a lot of them. a lot of hurdles. Yeah. A lot of times where it's like, I feel like we've both grown as humans, in terms of just the business side of learning of like, I mean, you name it, at like so many different hurdles that would feel like, no, stop.
Yeah.
And really success is right on the other side. Like growth is on the other side of like just stopping. And we were like, at this point, there is literally like no stopping us. And we've been really contemplating and pulling in of like with energy and action and intention and with a plan, like there's no not happening.
Yes.
And like really, not just like practically for, I think in the beginning, we both were like, okay, that makes sense. But now it's like this really deep feeling of like, oh my gosh, it's like, it's alive. It's really powerful feeling. And feel like very like, wow, this is growing. And I think trusting that instinct, yeah.
I always loved an adventure. I mean, this is like my whole life's meaning is to have all the adventures that are possible. And the adventure of doing this has been like one of the biggest ones I've ever committed to. So it's amazing to wake up every day and hold an intention for the direction we want to go. And then also the space for how is the universe going to show up and collaborate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How is somebody like you going to show up and give us this opportunity to even learn more as we're talking?
Right. Just, it's so cool. I'm really enjoying this conversation. I just find like everything you're talking about intention, but then also action.
Yeah.
And then fear and resistance, but then like pushing through the fear and the resistance, mm-hmm. just to find that outcome on the other side that it was that you were working for, and trusting in the universe and God, and having faith that like all of this work with intention and meaning, like, you know, consistency too, like it's going to yield this amazing thing. You're like, I mean, from my perspective, it's already amazing, but it's like, you know, it requires work and it requires effort. And like, I'm sure anyone watching the video, like, just look at you guys, like glowing and so, just so happy talking about it. Like, you know, that's the feeling that's available to all of us if we just choose to step into the discomfort and like meet the resistance and greet it. And then say, nah, I'm gonna keep going.
I know, that's so exciting. I think the last part of like what the joy is too, and this whole process of giving it life, it really is like a plant or an animal or a child. Like the more you give to it, the more it's gonna grow. But you know, obviously, the idea of manifestation of not just like woo woo. Obviously, you might think those who are listening like, oh, you guys are yogis. That's what that is. But no, like manifestation is actually talking it out into the universe, having this conversation, like me being like, I have this idea. I know it sounds crazy. Should we do it? And then that's manifestation, right? And like just reaching out and not being afraid of rejection, I think is a big part of it. And I remember one amazing teacher was saying that if you think of rejection as just redirection into a new place, there's so much more like growth. It's just like, okay, that's really not the best path. There's something better. And I think with your background and my background and the places that we've taught and shared our, you know, gifts and knowledge and passion, it's like life was leading to this exact point and really seeing that.
Absolutely. I was thinking too, like one of the things that aligns us is that both of us, like a core value of ours is to be of service. Mm. I mean, that's always been something that I felt. It's something that I knew about Christine the first time that we really sat down and talked. And that is the thing that I come back to when I start to feel contracted around building Sama Yoga House. It's like, we know that this is going to be of service to so many people, and then through the people who are there and the way that they go out into the world, and then the people they touch and the way that they go out into the world. So even if I'm running out of like personal juice, right, I drop back in to that, and then we remind each other that it's bigger than us.
Yeah. It's so important to remember your why.
Yes. Yes.
Anybody listening, like, if you haven't determined a why for the things that you're doing, like, figure out your why, because motivation is fleeting. Undoubtedly motivation is fleeting, but when you have a why that you can come back to always and drop into, like you mentioned, like, that's going to keep you going even when you're exhausted, and rest is necessary too, but, you know, like, have that why to drive you
to drive
to the outcome.
And I think too, there was a moment, like, we were laughing and talking about, like, Gia was like, are you sure you want to do this with me? Like, you can do this on your own. And I'm like, no, there's no like version of this. Like, I wouldn't even want to. Like, to me, it's not just about, like, the success of the outcome. Like, really, it feels, you know, we keep coming back to it. It feels so pure of what we want to create and share and what we are creating and sharing. But it's so, like, you have that, not just accountability. Like, that's just such a small part of it. It's just, like, the joy of creating something with someone else is so cool to, like, see it grow together and, like, celebrate those wins together. And it's not just, like, okay, I'm going to make an empire by myself. Like, you know, you'll die on your own sword doing that.
Yeah. Not only that, but for me, it's so fun. We are, I forget sometimes, but we're a 20-year spread between the two of us. And so being able in moments to, like, really lean into, like, Christine's, like, youthful insights, and then there's, like, moments where having been, you know, on the planet 20 years longer has a different perspective. But, you know, that's the other thing that I think that culturally we've lost, and hopefully we're coming back to, is, like, we don't want to just be with people who are exactly in the same level of life experience. Like, we get so much when we cross those lines and connect.
Right, so much value and diversity of thought and background and experience.
Yeah, and where people are coming from. We get people from all over the globe that are, you know, reaching out to us and talking to us, and, like, and ages. And in regular academia, it's very much like you go through with the same age and, like, you track through. And in training, we'll have people in their, like, early 20s to, like, late 50s. And they're engaging and learning from each other and, like, maybe opening up. And younger people are like, okay, I'm getting more wise watching and learning from someone else. And I think as our, like, culture has shifted, at one point in time we were all, like, dwelling together, you know, multi-generational families, and that's not happening, and it's very insular and alone and solo. And I think there's something also magical about that too, of, like, global community happening, cross-generational experiences being shared, and it, and that alone is healing.
Yeah, it's just sweet to see people have these connections where, like, you're like my auntie or the sister I never had, or like, you know, like, men who didn't have brothers, and all of a sudden they have, like, that connection with each other.
Right. What, I was trying to think of how to ask this earlier, but, like, we talk about fear, and fear, like, I guess, you know, what do you guys think fear is? And then when you have people who are dealing with fear in some way in these trainings, like, how do you hold space and help these people navigate facing their fears?
Ooh. My first thought is fear is the opposite side of faith. I think fear a lot of times keeps us frozen. Faith gives us a little bit more space to play. But yes, fear definitely comes up in yoga trainings, and a lot of energy and emotion come out in trainings too. And I think for both of us and any of our teachers, it's first and foremost that we create a grounded space within, so that we feel hopefully safe and that, like, created a supportive space for people to experience what's going to come up. Because it definitely will. When you get quiet, you know, things start to rise to the surface. Necessary things.
Yeah, biologically, what fear does for us is contracts. Mm-hmm. So literally we lose our peripheral vision, like everything in our body gets, our muscles get contracted. So I think fear really is contraction. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And fear is a limited perspective.
Yeah.
I mean, always, right? Whatever it is that I'm hyper-focused on that is causing me to feel fear is just a limited vision of what's actually happening. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of times when we're in fear or someone is in that moment of fear, it's take a deep breath, look up, mm-hmm. look out, mm-hmm. widen your vision. Mm-hmm. You know, fear so often we're focused on like the bad thing that might happen. What about the 99 good mm-hmm. things that could happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I can just remember one other possibility, then mm-hmm. pretty soon I'm back in that spaciousness.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think what can go wrong is that frame of mind. And I'm like, no, like what could go right? Like the universe is infinite. Yeah. So it is that expanding. And that's, I think you're right, the fear. I think the people who come have already passed that hurdle of fear of like, traveling internationally, doing mm-hmm. solo, taking time off with like people they don't know. Mm-hmm. And so the more you take those little like steps, your ability to like strengthen that, I don't know what you want to call it, this resilience grows. And so less things or bigger things become less scary for people. Like, oh yeah, I can tackle that. Like it's really a metaphor of a marathon, right? You're like, the first time you do like a half marathon, you're like, oh my gosh, this seems so daunting. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you do it. There's fear that comes up and you do it. You're like, okay, I can do that. The next, you know, it's just like this, like a slow one step at a time, just like moving forward and pushing yourself slightly outside of that comfort zone.
It's funny because I was thinking earlier that I feel like yoga and running have similarities.
Yeah.
And you just said the exact example that I think about often mm-hmm. around, you know, There's a point in time where you think, oh my gosh, 1 mile, there's no way I can run a mile.
Yeah.
And then you run a mile and you're like, oh, well, if I could do that, maybe I could run a mile and a half.
Yes.
And that just increases every time you take the step to mm-hmm. do the thing you thought you couldn't do.
Yeah.
And I can't exactly equate it to what that would look like in yoga, but I just think, I feel like that's so parallel to life and, you know, pursuing different, many different things in life, whether it be a physical challenge or building a business mm-hmm. or a relationship and like trying to create the relationship that you want. Like it's all just, it takes consistently taking the step past what you thought was possible and seeing like, oh, okay.
There's something else.
That is possible.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
well,
possible.
What else can I do?
Yeah. It's like trust and faith overcome fear. Mm-hmm. And it's like every time we step past it, we build a little more trust.
In ourselves.
In ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which one of our business mentors, I remember him saying, like day by day, you build that self-trust to where it's like an unbreakable bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, it's like, you know, it's so easy to like look at someone else and be like, oh man, I like totally believe what you're doing. Like I see it and I feel it. And then to like that self-trust is so important, whether it's like your own race or your own business or whatever it is, be like, okay, like I'm doing it. We're doing this. Like you're building that. A sense of confidence in yourself to keep going forward and not relying externally on just other people's being like, you got this, like, believe in you. Which is also nice and helpful and necessary. But at the end of the day, it's like, you're the one who shows up.
Right. It all comes back to like that self, I mean, self-love comes to mind, but it's like believing in yourself and believing that it's possible and trusting and knowing the validation is cool and great, but like your motivation again can't come from the flowers that other people are giving you.
Mm-hmm.
It has to come from somewhere else.
Yeah. I don't know why it made me think of this, but that you were talking about like how running equates to yoga. I think so many, especially your listeners in terms of the athletes that are here, is there's this understanding that yoga is so physical, which is great, and it creates injury prevention and blood flow and circulation and, you know, more mobility, and just it feels great when you're stretching and strengthening your body in that way. But I think, and I can see it in you, there's like sparks going off of like the curiosity behind like the philosophy of yoga, and like this kind of subtle body part of it. And we see it more and more with conversations we're having, and I think that's really what excites me about yoga. Like, my initial journey in was very physical. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to show up and do this physical practice every day. And the more you do it, just like anything else, it becomes this metaphor. Like, the more you're running, right, it becomes this very, like, spiritual journey that you're having. And the same thing with the practice of yoga. It's like, you don't necessarily need to do the physical practice to have, like, a mindset of doing that. And really, yoga means union. Mm-hmm. It's just a sense of connection. And the more you dive into that space, it's like everything becomes more clear. You even get to see your fears more clearly.
Yeah.
To bring it back to that. Yeah.
Something that blew my mind that I learned last year was that there's yin yoga and is it yang?
Yang yoga.
Yeah. There's, to your point, there's this like intense yang yoga where you're sweaty mm-hmm. and like your muscles are pulsing. And, you know, I think of some classes I've taken where I'm like dead after a yoga class, yeah. But then you have the yin where it's very slow yeah. and like really melting into these poses yeah. and like stretching, and like that balance element mm. is so cool to me. I mean, I left the yin yoga class like I want a yin yang tattoo. Like
yeah.
this is, I was like, oh my gosh, this is an incredible thing. And I'm mind blown that yoga means union. I mean, because yeah. immediately when you said that, I just thought about alignment again.
Yeah.
Like everything in unity.
Yeah.
Your body with your mind and what your mind thinks is possible, and you acting upon that and doing these things, and not, you know, the book The Body Keeps Score popped into mm-hmm. my head very early in the episode. I can't remember what you guys said, but one of you said something that made me immediately think of that, and it's like, if you can have your body in alignment, and when you're in alignment, like your body knows. I mean, I think I shared this with you, Christine, but over the last handful of years, every time I've gotten a physical, my like liver enzymes have been out of whack. Like I've had some weird little variances on my blood work, and I'm a healthy guy. Like I could never really figure out why that would be. And the doctor would make some, you know, suggestions about what I could potentially change, and it would never do anything. Well, last year, I feel like I finally shifted my life and started living a lot more in alignment with mm-hmm. who I am. And I got my physical and everything was right on money. And I was like, oh, that's not a coincidence.
No.
It's not a coincidence at all.
Yeah. That's beautiful.
I love that.
Yeah. So yin yang, unity, it's all making sense.
Yeah. I think that side of it too, it's like, yoga really meets people where they're at, and then in its own weird way pulls itself to itself. And G and I both have had religious upbringings and experiences, and my personal reason why I love it so much, it is spiritual without being dogmatic, and it allows you to have your own kind of inner compass and understanding of yourself in a way that here's a roadmap, but like you can create the vernacular of what lands for you. And it really comes back to connection. Yoga is that connection to self, with other, with planet, with one another. And you're obviously seeing like you need both, right?
Mm-hmm.
That fire and that softness to kind of coexist together.
Yeah, I mean, really one of the teachings of yoga is, it's non-duality,
mm-hmm.
right? So we live in a world of duality. We have to acknowledge that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, there is something that pulls the duality into singular experience. So like the verb of yoga is really, how can I take these, what seem to be opposing things in life, and I'm the thing in between that makes this one unified experience.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the act of yoga in our lives is like pulling these different things together, or moving out the things that are pulling us away from feeling just unified consciousness.
Mm. You know? Yeah. So how do you, like, how, if somebody were to say, well, how do I do that? Like, I have this job and it pays me so well, and I have these things, and I have all these reasons to continue to live a dual life, essentially. But I know that I would feel so much better if it was united. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, when you were talking about kind of the pragmatic, practical thought in, like, decision-making that comes with, for sure, like, running a business. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of thinking very practically, looking at numbers and systems and, you know, what do we use to do X, Y, Z, and all of the you know, cliche business mm-hmm. things, right? But then you have like, how does this feel? Mm-hmm. And we talk about with mm-hmm. yoga, like tapping into like what your body's telling you, you feel things inside of you, and like, let me hold space for that. And what does that really mean? Like, how do you blend those together and, you know, act in a way that I guess just like makes sense, if that's the yeah. right way to ask it.
Well, my first answer is I really like heartfelt answers, like yoga teacher training is really an amazing place to do that.
Yeah.
It's really hard to like learn those things in a world where you're like in corporate America and you're in this dualistic life. So yeah, my, you know, quick answer is everyone really should consider it. It's one of the most transformational things I've watched people go through. On the other side, it needs to start slow, like it, and to give yourself patience, and that you'll kind of two steps forward, one step back when you're trying to create more mindfulness or presence or space in your life. One simple thing is like, do less. Don't schedule yourself out to like every little hour of every day is consumed, so you just have a little bit more space to breathe. I think carving time to do, even if it's like one practice a week, it's just allowing yourself to fully be. I think we're in this society of like productivity and doing, and it takes time to shift this internal clock to be like, no, I'm a human being. I can be right here, right now. And you have to train your mind. It's like anything else, training a muscle, it's training yourself to run a marathon. Like it really becomes a mental space. And I think another big part of it is people have this assumption like, oh, we must meditate for hours every single day. and yeah, if that's not the reality of it. It's like we also live in this world that's fast paced and, you know, there's pressures and things of that. But even, you know, carving out 5 minutes in the morning just to like pause and just like anchor in and come back to your why or come back to gratitude, it doesn't necessarily mean you need to like create a full blown yoga practice or meditation practice or, you know, put every other textbook down and start reading yoga books. Like, that's not, you know, our intention. Yeah.
I think, you know, in a day-to-day way of doing it, you know, you were asking about, like, how do you take more than an hour yoga class?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, part of, I think, the practice of yoga off the mat is learning to bring your whole self to everything. I think we've gotten trained to sort of leave one part of myself behind to do this thing and one part of myself behind to do that thing. So it's like, what does that practice look like of, yeah, I'm crunching numbers and my whole self is here.
I love that.
I'm making a relationship decision. My whole self is here. And starting to like, where are the places where we feel like some part of us isn't welcome to be there, and then get curious about that. What is up with that? And I think that's kind of one of those ways that you might, you know, someone might find out that the great paying job that they have is exactly what they're meant to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they weren't letting other parts of themselves show up in that. Mm-hmm. Or you might live your way into like, quitting that job is the most natural thing in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so beautifully said. And I think it all comes back to that authenticity of like showing up as my complete, like my whole self in every environment. And then if that whole self isn't welcome there, then like, I don't need to go there again.
Yeah.
Thank you for that information.
Yeah.
I will no longer go there.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, I played football in college, and when I graduated and started my first job, I remember feeling like I'm like a robot in the workplace. I have no idea how to like walk through these hallways and like, hello. And, you know, I was just learning and figuring out my way. But that is a prime example of where I felt like, oh, I need to be something different. And that was my first job, you know. So I was learning and adjusting. But as I've gone through my life, I've just realized that like being myself is going to surround me with the people that need to be around me.
Yeah.
The opportunities that I want are going to be available to me when I'm being myself and putting myself in situations where that's where those opportunities would be. And it's like, that's the only way. That was just so wonderfully put. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's a beautiful analogy.
I love
too.
That too. Yeah, being myself.
And I think it's also like shedding. It's like shedding like that expectation or that pressure of like, no, that actually doesn't really serve me.
Mm-hmm.
And being aware of those things that kind of get in the way of your whole self. There's an unlearning process that has to happen, and then we can start relearning.
Yeah. And that was another thing you said was like, maybe this job is great and I can be myself here, but I just wasn't.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, you know, so many of us get in our own way of certain things, and it's like, hey, nobody told you you couldn't be yourself here. Mm-hmm. Nobody told you you couldn't do that. It was this preconceived notion that you created about the people or the environment that told you that, oh, I can't do that. But it's like, no, you didn't try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I'm really glad you said that too, because that's just as important.
Yeah.
So what is the long-term vision of Sama?
Oh, we've got lots of hopes and dreams.
Yeah.
So, house.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to establish actual physical locations around the globe.
Yeah.
That will create a similar feeling of come as you are,
mm-hmm.
and be in the space, be in the collective. We're also looking to create a virtual community where everybody who's trained with us can stay connected, keep learning, stay connected with each other and to the teachings of yoga, and that continues to grow.
Yeah, I think at this point too, it's like, why not? Like the passion, the purity is so strong. I think dreaming big is something that has been just very apparent to us of like, why wouldn't you dream big and then pursue it?
Having these, you know, creating real career paths.
Yes.
For yoga teachers is also super important. I know I'm really grateful and fortunate to have been a full-time yoga teacher for 25 years.
It's not an easy path.
And
there's a lot of hustle that has to happen to get there.
Yeah, we just want that for more people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More people who are able to dedicate like their entire life to continuing to be in the stream of these teachings. And, you know, it's not for everyone, but for the people who want that, that's one of our big dreams, is to
support
grow
it
in a way that we can support that for people.
Yeah.
That's really cool, because to your point, there are so many teachers who are like hustling. I mean, they're at this studio four times a week, this other studio three times a week, this other studio.
Yeah.
I mean, they are grinding.
Yeah.
So that's really, really cool that part of this mission is to like create more opportunity for long-term sustainable career.
Exactly,
paths.
Yeah.
Really cool. Well, did I miss anything that you guys really wanted to hit on? I mean, I've been asking that a lot lately, because I feel like I come in and I have questions and I often get my questions answered, but sometimes I'm like, well, did they want something specific here?
I feel that was really inspired, truly, and like really excited. I mean, I'm excited every day, but like having these conversations just reminds us of like the magic that's happening. So I feel like, I mean, the places of like connection, like we have trainings in Costa Rica, Thailand, Bali, and all of them are beautiful, and ocean and beach, and just such a container for growth and connection. And we have them all year long. So it's really like, you know, carving into that space and time of like what's pulling your heart, and not having that like, hey, maybe later, like we're here for you. It's really,
So you have year round trainings. The website is samayogahouse.com.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to share all of this in the show notes, but the Instagram page, they can find you both.
Yeah. Sama.yoga.house. And then if there's any email questions, or, you know, you're wanting to set up a call, really, you can just email info@samayogahouse.com and we'll be in touch with you too.
Yeah. We're open for consultation. So, you know, if you're just having this first spark and want to explore, like you can book an appointment online and sit with Christine or I, and we'll talk it through.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining me. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, as I knew I would, and you guys are just awesome, so I'm excited for you both and Sama, and the impact that you guys will certainly have. I mean, there's no question that it's going to be incredible.
Thank you so much, Jackson.
Thank you for having us.
And to the listeners, thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Walker Mentality Podcast, and we will see you on the next one.